being attacked today, as I talked last week, that the family, to be strong, is being attacked by the devil, and it's in danger of becoming extinct. Is that right? In danger. And last week we have a paper on. If you didn't get a paper from last week, we're too busy. We're too involved in materialism. We're too involved in pleasure, and then TV and internet and all the games and all of the cell phones and iPods. Is that right? It's just driving us crazy. And you know, the rat race. The problem with the rat race, I said last week, the rats are winning. And we must turn that around and save our families. And the first way to do that is to step up to our men here and to realize that we must reclaim manhood in our day. I have a videotape here I want to show you. It is just very good. It's just 53 seconds long, but it says more in 53 seconds. Listen to it very carefully. We must restore, reclaim, revive biblical godly manhood in America today. And it is being an onslaught, eroded in every point of media, made fun of, belittled. Is that right? Not pushed. And God wants us to act like men and for our boys to become men, and it's wonderful here. Listen to this.
God hasn't called us to be childish men. He's called us to be manly men.
Do I allow the Word of God to actually inform how I think about everything? Or are there areas of my life where I'm just winging it because it's an involuntary action of my heart and mind and affection?
Jesus Christ was courageous, he was sacrificial, and he was sensitive.
Being meek took strength. Being humble took strength. They learn how to love. Your sons learn how to love a woman based on your love for your wife that reflects Christ's love for the church. Get on your knees before God in prayer. It's in your Bible. Bleed Bible. Tears rolling down your eyes and the wind in your face saying, no matter what, I'm going to lead my family. No matter what, I'm going to walk with God. No matter what, I am going to let the gospel set the tone for my soul as well as my household.
Jesus Christ is the answer to your manhood issues.
Amen. Good, good, good stuff to realize that Jesus is our answer to all the manhood issues of our lives, and to make that a big point here, and to let manhood be something that's rising again and not falling again, and to realize, God help us in that. Today, manhood is being blurred. Is that right? Blurred with all kinds of things going on, and we realize that there's confusion of who we are. There's confusion. There's chaos in our identity. The roles are being who you are, what you are. Did God design distinct roles for male and female? Did God design roles for man and woman, boys and girls, masculine and feminine? He designed all of that. And His way works. And our whole world is trying to have unisex and one and one and one. No. God made us different, and God has made us to complement one another. And it's wonderful, and it is something that we must get back to, and if we lose it, we have a baby boy being born. When?
June 13th.
As soon as possible. And this is a baby boy. This is not, well, we don't quite know what it is. All the transgender today, is it killing us? It's just killing us today. Who would have thought that here we're having things lined up of which bathrooms who's going to? That's the dumbest thing in the world to realize, to say, what's going on here? Somebody in a moral society, wrong has to lose and right has to win. And that's very important. When is it going to come that somebody comes to my house and steals my lawnmower? And I go find it. And I take the police with me. And I take my lawnmower back. And that guy goes to jail. And he should lose rights. Is that right? He has no rights. He doesn't have a right to take my lawnmower. And, you know, who gave all of these moral rights? God did. And if we live in a moral society, wrong has to lose. Right has to win. And wrong has no rights. And you're sitting there going, well, we got to be tolerant. No, we don't be tolerant to criminals, huh? We don't be tolerant to somebody that's coming in our house. You know, I had my house robbed at one time. And I was robbed at my door. And, you know, I didn't say, well, come on in. Take what you want. You know. Oh, let me show you what's under my bed. You know. And I got some stuff hid here. No, that's wrong. And our whole culture of manliness, we've allowed that to be destroyed in our day. And we need to come up and say, this is what God meant by manliness. Put at least that one up. I just love this one here. And to catch this here, it says, there are a lot of false pictures of what being a man is all about. What we are not talking about is this false, bravo, overly masculine type of man, here it is, that when all is said and done, is too manly to love. Can you ever be too manly to love? No. And then too manly to serve. We're going to talk about that. Too manly to care. Too manly to lower himself in humility. But what we are talking about is a man who is willing to be wrung out for the good of his family, his wife, and his God. Amen? I want you to read that. I want children to read that. I want teenagers to read that. That's what we are producing, and that's what we want to produce. And we've got a day where everything is turned around, and men are wimpy in our family. I've told you this before. We teach our grandchildren that fishers are tough. And when they get cut on their hand or whatever, somebody knocks them down, you know, how you doing? And little Jacob say, fishers are tough. And also, fishers don't quit. I've told you this before. Andrew, I had to get in his garage some way, and I took Carter with me, Tim's boy, and I drove up to Andrew's, and they got the wrong key, and everything was going wrong, and all the doors were locked. And I told Carter, I said, Carter, we just can't get in there. He looked at me and says, Grandpa, fishers don't quit. I was in trouble. I said, okay, fishers don't quit. What do fishers do now? And so we went someplace and got something and got a key and got in. Is that right? We didn't quit till we made it happen. And I couldn't quit because I already taught him that we don't quit. And I was going to quit. And I didn't want to get in there that badly, okay? But we need to train that in our children. And we have a day where men aren't men. And it was neat that us four men went down to driving 5 hours to be someplace 4 hours and drive 5 hours back. That's stupid. And but that's manly, too. We had a big time. We just had a big time. And eating at White Castle, how better can it be? Anybody agree with me? Hey. Only the four guys that went with us. They were all excited. We looked in, punched in what were there, and we brought up that there were White Castles, and every one of them goes, yeah! When we walked in the door, I opened up the door and jumped in and went, yeah! And I don't even know what White Castle is, but we went there. And only thing I like about it, it has onions in the hamburgers. Woo! And one of them ordered 6 hamburgers, one of them ordered 5 hamburgers, and another one, after we got in there, as we was pulling out the driveway, he says, oh, we got to go over here and get some donuts, you know. And I said, coffee. And I said, that's manly stuff, manly stuff. Do we need to get back to making our boys men? Well, you know, I laugh at it, but it is terrible today what's going on. It is terrible what's going on. And we need to make our boys into men. Put the next picture up. This is really good here. It says, a boy, this is comparing a boy to a man. A boy gives false promises, okay? A man honors his commitments. We need to get a boy from his not coming through with stuff to coming through. Is that right? Being committed. It says, a boy thinks me selfish, okay? Are they born that way? Yeah, yeah. And then it says, but a man thinks us. So we got to change our boys from thinking me to us. Very important. A boy blames others. A man accepts responsibilities. It is so important that we realize that this responsibility is so important that we take responsibility. You don't blame others. That's childish. Take responsibility. A boy lives off others. Some of them live off others till they're 45. Is that right? And there, you know, we have men acting like boys. A man lives for others. Okay, catch that. A boy relies on himself. A man relies on God. Is that good? We must train our young boys to be men. We must gather them from boys to teens to becoming men, single men, and then becoming husbands, and then becoming fathers, and then becoming grandfathers. Is that right? It's so important. And godly, manly, and tough, and don't quit, and stay in there and finish the job. It is so important that we make that happen. Happen from boys to men. Everybody turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. Phil read this morning. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says this, 1 Kings 2. I trust you there. This is good stuff. You need to write this verse down. And dads, go over this verse. It's one of the great verses. We got a sequel verse to it in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, this is the best. 1 Kings 2, 1, 2, and 3. And it says, now the days of David drew nigh that he would die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. I'm going to die. But you, he's talking to his son, making a boy a man. But thou be strong. Therefore, show thyself a man and keep the charge. Here's how to show yourself a man. Verse 3. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, all of it written in the Bible. As the one video said, bleed the Bible. It just flows out of you. As it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. And it is so important here. This is the new living of the two verses here. It says, take courage, be a man, observe the requirements of the Lord your God, and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commandments, regulations, and laws written in the laws of Moses, so that you may be successful, prosperous in all you do and wherever you go. Amen? That's the plan. 1 Kings 2. I want you to think about it. Verse 2 and 3 gives the whole plan of boys becoming men and men becoming godly men. And from boy to teenager to single man to husband to father to grandfather, right? The progression of godly men. We desperately need that today, and I'm so glad we have it in our church and it's growing. Amen? We must produce that, and I just love that, and it's so, so important. I have a paper back here. Last week is the destruction of the family, what's killing our family. I have other two papers I'm using this morning, and it's on biblical manhood, masculinity. Please pick those up for your family. They're back there around the communion table, and this is the outline here. It just says, act like a man. Act like a man. Let's put the next one up. You know, God designed manhood and calls manhood. God designed men. Is that right? And then God designed women. And then God let us have little boys and little girls so that God can make them godly ladies and godly men. And that's the plan. And God's got a role for men that's good for them. And God's got a beautiful role for women, and it's for them. And it's great to catch that here. God's man. It just says, step up. I love this one. Step up. Step up. It says, lead. It says, initiate. Be a man of action. Assume it is your job and your moment. And it says, hate apathy. Reject passivity. Are we producing in our culture passive men? And we don't need, that's not God's plan. Real men, look at this one. Real men reject passivity, engage with God, accept responsibility, lead courageously. That's a man. And then I have all the abilities. It says accountability, approachability, availability, correctability, dependability, honorability, hospitability. It says reliability, respectable, teachable. And it's so important that we must all this, all these abilities. And that's a man. And we must step up to that and realize that God wants us to do that, and we must not back away from it and be a real man. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's all turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. This is fathers. Fathers. It can relate to the whole family too, mothers also, but it says fathers. Fathers. This is what fathers are to do with their children. Fathers are to train their children. Do good children just happen? You mean to tell me if you let a child do what he wants to all the time, he will go astray? Is that what the Bible says? What the Bible says? A child left to himself will bring his mother what? Shame. We're children of the devil, and we got to get God in our lives. And if we let ourselves just be ourselves like our day, we'll self-destruct. And we must. And it says, fathers, look at it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Look at this here, provoke. This is the Amplified. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Parenthesis, defining it here. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment, which demands that are trivial and unreasonable and humiliating and abusive. That should never be, nor by showing favoritism or indifference in any of them, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Do we need discipline today? We've forgotten that. Except if you're going to be an Olympian. You know, we make you just, if you're going to be an ice skating, performing Olympian, my goodness, you get up at 4 in the morning, is that right? And you do all your practicing and then go to school. And then you come home from school and you do all your practicing all evening. Is that right? Discipline, discipline. Do we need to have godly discipline? That's why we have our Word Life program, so that our kids can be disciplined in learning Scripture, reading Scripture, doing service projects. We have teen involvement with our verses, our Bible reading, teen involvement in ministry, blessing. We have VBS. We have the whole family. We want you to get involved. We want you to know your Bible and to live your Bible and to enjoy your Bible. And it must be disciplined. You know, if you're going to be a Bible person, if you're going to bleed the Bible, as the tape said, you're going to have to spend some time. It's just not going to be a 15-minuter, you know. Let's go. No, it don't work that way. It's going to take some discipline. We must train our children. And it's fathers, don't provoke them. I was just asking as we were driving back last night, I was asking them some questions to all the guys on my sermon. So I wrote my sermon as I was coming back. I can hardly read it because the road was so bumpy. And I'm not good at writing anyway. You know, you got to see that right there. It's terrible. I wrote that in the car. But in provoking, one of them just said, if a parent is nitpicky. Is that right? Just nitpicky. And you're just provoking them to anger, provoking them to just, oh, and then hypocrisy. Do as I do, you know, do as I say, don't do as I do. No. Hypocrisy also is, you know, you come home from work and you gripe about your employer. That's provoking them. Also, the absent dad. Is that right? We have a day of the absent dad. Now you got to work. You got to work. Is that a plan for God too? Did God plan work? If you don't work, you don't. And all of you like to? So you got to? Okay. Pretty plain. And you got to work. But can you work too much and not be home? I've never met a man at the end of his life says, I was home too much. I always hear him say what? I work too much. And the absent dad, and that is something that you just got to determine. Now, sometimes you got to work 2 or 3 jobs. Is that right? It's part of life. But to make those times important that when you are home, that you're not absent. Can you be home and still be absent? Caught up in front of the computer. Do you know you can jump on the computer and all of a sudden 4 hours has gone by? Is that right? You can jump on Facebook and 10 hours has gone by. And you realize, wow. And just a great time wasters, watching TV, you can just, nothing. Are you putting some time into your children? Some time into your wife. You might be there, but you're still absent. Also, one is unattainable expectations. They just never. I'm proud of you. No, you should have done it better. You know, you're always on their case. And then the punishment should equal the crime. Is that right? Sometimes we just lose our temper and we punish them all over the place. Punish them before you lose your temper. You know, that's when you send them to the room. You got to go to the room. Why do parents send kids to the room? So the parents can settle down and figure out what to do. Oh, I thought it was for me to just sit there in fear and trembling, waiting what they're going to do. No, it's for the parents. And then jumping to wrong conclusions, not getting the facts. That's provoking your children, just running in and not taking the time because you're watching your favorite show and you just discipline whoever's the first one you see. Does that happen? It does. That's provoking your children to wrath and to anger. But we're to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We are to step up. I like that. Step up. Is that right? Get all those abilities. That's our job to train our children and set the pace as dads. Secondly, we are to speak out. Speak out. You know, one person said in our deacons meeting, sometimes I should, you know, we are to guard our tongues. Is that right? But there is times we should speak up. Note what it says here. It says, silence in the midst of sin is a what? Oh, silence. It's time. There's time to speak out. Be courageous. Fear God, not man. Speak the truth in love. Speak out. It is important that we realize that. Real men speak out. And it says, real men, it says, relate to their wives, engage with their children, accept our responsibilities, and lead our families. And it's important that we do that. Also, with speak up and speak out, we need to stand strong. Stand strong. strong. I like this one. Stand strong. Don't give in when you are challenged, attacked, or criticized. Stand strong. It says fight, fight, fight. I like this. You know, act like a man. Fight like a man on your knees. I like that, to realize that we must fight like a man and say, God, help us to be that way and to stand. This is one of the papers back there. I'm going to use that in this point here. It just says, inner strength and fortitude. Stand with that. Stand with resolve in our beliefs and character and integrity. It says, stand and trusting God and obeying the commands. That's where we get our strength. Stand for righteousness. They act in strength and they obey God's word. And it says, love our wives as Christ loved the church. And it says, to honor women and treat them with understanding, being kind and gentle and protecting. It says, lead our wives, taking initiative and responsibility for the course and direction of our homes. Listen to our wives. Want me to say that one again? Listen to our wives, always seeking to do what is best for the family and her interest. Very important. And then devote yourself to prayer. Is that right? Stand strong. That is so important. That's one of the papers back there. I just summarized it for you. It is very important that we stand strong. And then we have to stand humble. I like this one. Stay humble. It says, be vigilant against pride. Get the log out of your eye. Don't think less of yourself. Think of yourself what? Less. And it's very important that you note that we must need to stay humble in what we're doing for God and others. Very, very important. We must submit. Look at this one here. We must submit. It says, biblical manhood can be seen as a man submitting his body, his soul, and his spirit to the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. Stay humble, huh? That's so important. And then finally, serve the King. Serve the King. This is our last one here. It says, seek first His kingdom, His glory, His righteousness, hope in the eternal, live for a greater reward. And that's what God wants us to do and make it happen for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's all turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is our key verse, very close to 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is our key verse for godly manhood, biblical manhood, manly manhood. Paul is writing the church in Corinth. This is the last chapter. He's giving all of his salutations to them, and he's saying goodbye. Keep in there. Take care of Timothy, Apollos. That's all around these verses. Verse 13, he just stops right in the middle and says to the Corinthians, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quiet like men, quit like men, be strong, let all things be done with love. I think I have the Amplified here. It says, be on guard, stand firm in your faith in God, respecting His precepts and keeping His doctrine sound. Act like men, act like mature men, and be courageous, be strong. Let everything you do be done in love, motivated and inspired by God's love for us. Act like a man, stand up like a man. It's very important that we realize that God wants us to do that and not to just fall apart. He wants us to act like men, to stand like men, to step up, to speak out, to stand strong, to stay humble, and to serve the King, and to say, God, as for me and my house, the man says this, as for me first and my house, Set the pace for Bible reading, set the pace for prayer, set the pace for coming to church, set the pace for serving. Find some place in the church ministries. We have ministries outside the church. We have jail ministry, we have nursing home ministry, we have basketball ministry, we have other ministries, we have Sunday school, we have junior churches, we have Wednesday night, we have other ministries, some Bible studies through the week, through the month for men and ladies. Amen? Jump in there someplace. We have VBS. Everybody should be involved in VBS, and Dad should be the leader. Let's go get involved. I don't want to. Let's go get involved. I don't want to. We will go to Dairy Queen after every night. I'll be there. Many times for our children and teenagers, they do the right thing for the wrong reason. And that's all right. Think about when you were a teenager, huh? And we must. And it's our job as dad to set that pace and not drive them and force them. No, but lead them and guide them and move it good. I remember my brother's up here. Everybody thinks I'm in two places all the time. I was walking down the hall there and somebody says, "You're in the auditorium, aren't you?" And I said, "No, that's my older, better looking brother." That's a lie. Okay. But it was neat, you know. You're in there, and you know, he's 3 years older than I, but we are starting to look alike, and he's looking more like me all the time. But it's neat to, when we grew up on Sunday nights after church, every Sunday night when we lived in Ripley, we walked over to the Dairy Queen and had a blizzard. Anybody remember the blizzards? Oh, they were good. And I don't know if I learned anything from church on Sunday night, but I was there and I was excited, and I was more excited when my dad quit preaching. And it's very important, very important. It kept me at the right spot. Is that right? The right place. I was in the right place. And might not have been listening all the time, but I was in the right place. And I was happy because I could just dream of a banana blizzard. A peanut butter one. And this Dairy Queen was the top Dairy Queen in the state of West Virginia. Top Dairy Queen. It was probably most expensive too. But these are things that, men, we must set the pace in our families. Get the joy of devotions. Devotions are hard, but keep working at it. Is that right? Your family's changing all the time. You will do it differently. Is that right? But keep the Bible alive. I loved what the guy said in the video. Bleed the Bible. You know, my father-in-law worked for Caterpillar, Ron Lee's dad, and he said he always bled yellow. Some of y'all John Deere boys, y'all bleed green. Is that right? Any amens? Yeah, I'm trying to get amens in a John Deere place. And to realize, you know, he said, I bleed yellow. You know, he's Caterpillar. And we need to bleed Bible. It just needs to flow from us. It needs to be who we are. It needs to be what we live on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We don't provoke our children to wrath. We lead them and guide them. And we guard them. We stand firm. I love this. We act like men. Men of God. Men of character. Men of strength. Men of decision. When the going gets tough, we get going tough too. And we don't quit. We stay in there. We pray. Is that right? Do men cry? Is it all right for men to cry? Yeah. And it's very important to get our boys becoming men. Men of God. Men of the Bible. Men of truth. Men of decision making. Men of dedication. Men of determination. Men! Is that right? We need that. The men that love. And this is so important that we grasp this. Do it. Teenagers, don't give in to what's going on today. That manliness, you know. The book that I'm reading through for this, the big event in 1991 was unisex dressing, okay? Men putting on girls' clothes or whatever. Do you know what it is today, folks? It's transgender. Is it moving badly in the wrong direction? Badly. We need to be men. We need to be proud of it. It's a boy. And wow. Now next week it's a girl. Is anybody having a girl? Okay, next week. You're on for next week. It's a girl. It's a girl. You know, does God make great men, boys, and great girls, you know, ladies? Huh? And they're different, but they're perfect. Both of them are beautiful. Not to be blended, not to be unisex, but to realize this is your role. This is your role. Fulfill it. It'll make you happy. If you don't fulfill it with all the gender junk going on today, it'll make you miserable. Miserable. And we're sitting there going, you know, this is all wrong. And we have a day that is killing us. And we need to get God's definition of manliness and what a boy is. And, Jesus, one of the Jesus stories in the Bible is when he's 12 years old. Is that right? And what he did at 12 years old. It's a great story. And Samuel in the Old Testament. Is that right? Manliness. John the Baptist, you know. He ate locusts and wild honey. That's like going to White Castle. We need to come to God and dedicate ourselves to being a godly man, to being a biblical man, to being a holy man. We need to dedicate our boys. We need to know the boys. You're going to become a man. We don't quit. We don't give up. It is very important that we're men. If anybody's going to work hard, it's going to be who? Me. If anybody's going to suffer, it's going to be me. It's a man. We got to, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And just as we are broken for God. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Is that right? Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Let's be manly. Let's be godly. And let's train our next generation. We must. The family is terribly under attack. And God wants men. God wants boys to become men and single men to become husbands and husbands to become fathers and fathers to be grandfathers. Wow, godly. Family strong, we must. Next Sunday is beautiful, biblical motherhood, womanhood. Amen? And let's do it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Make certain this is you. That you make a new, fresh commitment. Dads for manliness. Teen boys to, I'm going to be a man of God. Moms here to support the men being men of God. Do it. And then grandpas and grandmas, we must make our boys godly men. We must.